God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, as we gather today, the glow of Christmas is still in the air around us. The tree is still up. The lights are still twinkling, and perhaps the smell of pine or cinnamon in your home lingers. But today, on this first Sunday after Christmas, we step away from the nativity scene into the profound mystery of why Christ came into the world in the first place, why God sent him into our midst. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians today in our epistle, explains why the birth of Jesus was not just a historical event, but a divine intervention with cosmic significance. He reveals the purpose of the coming of Christ in terms of God's perfect timing and his plan for us, his plan to save us. And this passage, especially today as we look at verses 4 and 5 of Galatians chapter 4, is so rich with meaning. It speaks to the very heart of our faith and why Christ came to save us in the first place. The timing of Jesus coming into the world, his birth, his life under God's law, his redemption, these are all a part of God's grand design. His design and purpose to save us and to make us his children. And so today, as we reflect on these verses, especially verses 4 and 5, we'll explore this truth and see how it applies to our life here today. And so, as I've been doing here recently, I encourage you to take those pew Bibles in your pew there and turn to page 1156, and we're going to be looking there at those two verses, especially today, verses 4 and 5, if you wish to follow along, because there's just so much beautiful language that Paul uses here to describe what God has done for us. And so verse 4, Paul begins by saying, when the fullness of time had come. We often think of time as linear, past, present, future. But when God speaks of time, especially with the coming of Jesus into the world, he speaks of a moment of history that was divinely chosen by God. God's plan of salvation was not accidental or random. It was always a part of God's eternal plan of salvation, his eternal purpose. As Paul says, in the fullness of time, God acted decisively to bring salvation to his people Israel. And think about how significant that is. Christmas is not just a holiday that just happened because it was a convenient time. Jesus came exactly at the right time in human history. There had been centuries, of course, of waiting for Jesus to come into the world. Generations of people waiting for the promise of Messiah to be fulfilled. And the world around Jesus' birth was in turmoil. Israel was under Roman occupation. And the law was a constant reminder of the gap between humanity and God. But God, in his perfect wisdom, waited until the time was exactly right. He timed everything perfectly, down to the smallest detail. Even the detail of the Roman census that would send Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Just as in history, so too in our own personal lives, God's timing is perfect. Often we wonder why things don't go as planned. Things don't seem normal. Even sometimes when we feel as if our prayers are unanswered, why we face trials at certain moments of our life, especially when we think that we should be free of them. But God's perfect timing is always at work, even when we don't see or understand it. We may not understand it, but we can trust that, like in the fullness of time, when Jesus came into the world, God is always at work in our life for our good, even in the midst of the hard times. And I'm sure you can think of a time in our moments in our life when the timing of the events seemed all wrong. Maybe you were waiting for a job, a relationship, or a resolution to a problem that you were dealing with. And at that moment, you might have felt as if God was taking his time, that he wasn't listening to you. But later, as time passed, you began to realize and see how all those things worked out for your good in the end. And even better than what you may have predicted it would have. Perhaps now at this moment, you see how God's perfect timing worked out for your good in the end. Even if you didn't understand it at the time. Or even now, you might not fully understand it. Now, next, Paul says that God then sent his son, born of a woman. This is the core of the Christmas story, obviously. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, was not sent in some mystical or abstract way. But Jesus was simply born of a human woman. He was born of Mary. He entered the world as a baby, completely human, just like you and I. The same vulnerabilities as a baby has. The same cares and needs that a baby has. He needed food, sleep, comfort, care, protection. And he grew and matured, experiencing the full range of human emotions, struggles, and joys, as we heard in our gospel reading today after he was presented at the temple just 8 days old. It talks about he grew in stature and wisdom, just like each and every single one of us. The reality of the incarnation is that God became like you and me. In Jesus, we see the God who understands our pain, our joys, our disappointments, as well as our hopes. He walked the same earth that we do. He breathed the same air. And he was not untouched by human suffering. As you read throughout the Gospels, he experiences the same things that you and I go through. And this is a profound truth from the Christmas story. That Jesus is both fully God, but also fully man. He did not come to stand apart from us, but he came to stand in our midst and to share in our humanity. And how comforting it is for us to know that Jesus does share our humanity. He understands what it means to be human, what it means to suffer. In our world, suffering is all too common. Today, as we think about those perfect timing moments of God and we are in the moment of waiting, it might be a moment of waiting in which you are suffering through it. A difficult situation involving your health, family struggles, financial struggles, whatever it is. Despite that, the good news of Christmas is not that just Jesus came as a child, but he came to live among us, to be born as a human being, to share this life with us and to identify with us and with our suffering as well. And he is a Savior that suffers. And he knows your suffering. He knows what you're going through. It's why he took on our humanity so that he could know what we experience. And so that through his suffering, he could bring to you the healing and the hope that you need. And so when you feel alone and misunderstood through your struggles as you're waiting for God's fullness of time, remember that Jesus was born and took on our human flesh and came into the world to share our human experience as well. He knows your suffering, and he knows your pain. And in that, you are not abandoned. Your God knows what you're dealing with. And so knowing now that Jesus has been born of a woman, Paul continues then by saying that Jesus was born then under the law. And what does that mean, to be born under the law? Well, it means that Jesus, even though he was the eternal Son of God, chose to live under the authority of his heavenly Father's law, to live under the Torah, the very law of God that guided and led God's people Israel in their life of worship and how they conducted their day-to-day life. He submitted himself to the same requirements, not only taking on your human flesh, but following God's law, just as his children Israel had done, and just like we as well. Jesus did not bypass the law, even though he had every right to do so as God. He was Lord over those things. And yet he subjected himself. As he takes on our humanity, he subjects himself to follow the law, to keep it perfectly. And why is that important? Why is it important, the fact that Jesus was born under the law? Well, again, we realize that as he comes into the world to take on our human flesh, we understand that humanity cannot keep God's law perfectly. We understand that in our sin and our willful disobedience, we can never keep God's law perfect. We can never meet his standard. Ever since the first disobedience of Adam and Eve in the garden, up until now, humanity has always fallen short of keeping God's perfect standard. And so God gave his law to his people to not only help them and guide them, but to show them their sin, to remind them of the things that they are doing and the things that they ought to be doing, but they're not. God gives his law to his people to reveal to them his perfection, his standard for holiness. But the fact that Jesus, the true Son of God, takes on our humanity and is born under the law, the eternal Son of God, he is able to keep the law perfectly. Where we fail, where we all collectively together as humanity fail daily, Jesus, the perfect Adam, keeps the law perfectly for us. Not for his own benefit, but for you and for me. He keeps the law perfectly for us. He was the only one that could meet the righteous demands for the law. No one else could. You can't, I can't, no human being can. Only Christ could. And we live in a world where rules and laws often seem burdensome and constraining. And that's what it seemed like for the children of Israel. Burdensome, trying to keep God's law because no one could. With our good Lutheran theology, we understand that. We can't, by our own reason or strength, do anything to keep God's law perfect. And there might be times when you look at all of the demands of the law and the rules that you see out in the world, and it can be burdensome and frustrating. Especially when you're trying to keep up with the demands of your family and your work or anything in society even. But we also know that even our best efforts to meet God's standard always fall short. Anything that we try to do and in our interactions with others, the things that we say, think, and do, even the things that we direct towards God, no matter how hard we try, we always fall short. We can't measure up on our own. But that's why the coming of Jesus into the world is such good news for us. As Jesus himself says, I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. The very fact that Jesus was born under the law shows us that he has come to fulfill these things, to keep the law on our behalf, when he knows we can't, We can't ever keep the law. But Jesus does for us. And in those moments when you are experiencing the full weight of this broken world and our sinful flesh, when you feel inadequate, remember that Jesus has already done everything for you. The fact that he comes into the world and takes on our humanity, the perfect Son of God, the eternal, ever-living Son of God, comes to take on our humanity and to keep the law perfectly for us. When we feel inadequate, Jesus was perfect for us. He keeps the law perfectly so that you and I would not have to face the burden of trying to seek to keep the law perfectly each and every single day. In Jesus, the law of God is fulfilled. It's just as he says on that Good Friday, it is finished. God's plan of salvation is complete. The fulfillment of God's law is done. And that burden is never to be placed on your shoulders ever again. And so then finally, Paul tells us and wraps it up here in verse 5, the purpose of Jesus' coming. To redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Redemption is a word that comes back from the common marketplace. In the ancient world, a person who was enslaved could be bought back or redeemed by someone paying a price for them. Paul brings up this example to show us the very purpose why Jesus came to take on our humanity at God's perfect time to be born under the law, to redeem us, to buy us back, to pay the price for our freedom. And what was that price that was paid? His life, his death on the cross. But it doesn't just stop there. Jesus didn't just redeem us, buy us back from our slavery to sin, but then also it brings us to be adopted sons and daughters of God. So not only enslaved from our sin and now free, but now belonging to God, a part of his family. Through Jesus, we become God's children. We're no longer slaves to sin, no longer slaves to the law. We are now sons and daughters of the King. And this is the great gift of Christmas that we celebrate each and every single year. Jesus came at the right time to be born of a woman, to be born under the law so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be restored back to God, so that we would have a new identity, that God would reestablish the relationship between him and us. And in our world today, adoption is a concept that many of us can understand and appreciate. Perhaps you or a loved one you know has experienced the joy of being adopted, being placed into a family after years of being in the foster care system, years of going from home to home, place to place. Many in our world today still feel like orphans, suffering, struggling through life, feeling abandoned without a family. But because of Christ, because of what Paul says he does here, you and I are brought into God's family. We are given a new identity, no longer outsiders or strangers. We are brought into the house. We are given a new name, a new identity. Through your holy baptism, through your baptismal faith, you are claimed to belong to God. You are God's beloved children. And this changes everything, how we see ourselves and how we interact with another in the world and with each other here in this place. And in those moments where you feel like God is taking his time with his answer, when you feel as if you are suffering in your humanity, when you feel the burden of your sin and the weight of the law upon you, it is important for you to remember that you are not unloved. Because the whole point of Christmas is that God sent his Son into the world so that you might belong to him, to no one else. You no longer belong to your sin. Death no longer holds a claim over you. Not even Satan himself. You are God's and no one else's. And that changes how we treat others, how we reach out to others with the gospel message, how we share the good news of the Christmas story in our life and with others around us, proclaiming as the angels do, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Because Jesus comes into the world and takes on our humanity, we have joy in our hearts to share, bubbling forth. The shout it, the share it. The share in our sufferings and in our humanity together, and to know that God is there with us because of Jesus. And it helps us to move forward into the future. Especially as we wrap up another year, as we move forward into 2025, this message of Christmas stays with us, even beyond the Christmas season. And so in just these two couple verses from Galatians, Paul has detailed for us, two small verses, the profound mystery and the beauty of the Christmas gospel. That in the perfect timing of God, he sent Jesus to take on our humanity, to be born of Mary, a woman, to be born under the law so that we would no longer feel the oppressive weight of God's law. So that you and I would be redeemed and restored back to God. This is the heart of our Christian faith. And this is the heart of the Christian Christmas message. As we move forward through this season of Christmas and into the new year of 2025, let's remember that we're not just spectators of a story, a cute little narrative that we read and open every Christmas. But this is a living narrative, an active story in which God is actively working in your life. That whatever moment and stage of life you are in, God is working the Christmas gospel in your life. The Savior who has come for you, to save and redeem you, and to bring you into God's family here today and into eternity. May this truth, may this Christmas gospel good news stay with you as we wrap up this year, as we move into the new year, and each and every day of your life until God fulfills for you and all humanity the joy of his salvation.